Today on Real Radio.
When he says the whole body here brought together, the whole building, he's saying, as a contractor would say, these trucks pull up. What do you got here? I got some rocks. Where are the rocks from? From Russia. Put them right over here. What do you have? I've got some beams. Well, where are the beams from? England. Bring them over here. Got some windows to deliver. Well, where are the windows from? America. Put them right over here. Believers coming from all over the globe to one location to build the household of God. And each of us as believers have certain functions in the body.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're looking at the last four verses of chapter 2, the context being that we are one family under God. Now, as Bible scholars often say, we must put on our yarmulkes as we read the passage, because the author speaks of Jews and Gentiles now worshiping together. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We have friends riding their bicycles telling you that we have, to this day, living apostles. They happen to live in Salt Lake City, and there's 12 of them. And they say there's revelations. They give revelations. And the revelations they've given that have been mistakes, they also tell you that God was perfecting the revelation. It's not a mistake. He's just, well, how many times does God have to do it to get it right? But they'll tell you that we have apostles. And they might knock on your door and listen. They say, well, we have a message from the apostles. Say, I got a message from the apostles too. And they'll say, you do? Yeah. You said you have a message from apostles? Yes, we do, from the Latter-day apostles. Well, we have apostles in our church. You do? Yes. Hang on. Grab your Bible and say, there's Apostle John and Apostle Peter, Apostle Paul. In fact, Apostle Paul said that if somebody comes preaching another gospel given to them by some angel that fell out of heaven, not to believe them. Right here, Galatians 1, verse 8 and 9. That's what my apostle says. But by the way, the foundation, the cornerstone is Jesus Christ. The message is given by the apostles. Well, get a load of this. Is there any more further revelations from God going on? Is there a revelation in the latter days? Jot this down in your notes. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. Revelation 1:1 says that the revelation of Jesus Christ, that's pretty clear, which God gave to him to show his servants. So it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, Revelation 1:1 says. Well, what is it? Well, Hebrews 1:1 says that God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days, by the way, what's spoken of in the Greek is the last days at the last time, meaning no more revelation. It's done. He's done giving revelations. Well, how did he end it? With Jesus Christ. Has in these last days spoken to us by his own Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. Deuteronomy 4:2. Deuteronomy 4:2. Says, you shall not add to the word which I command you, nor shall you take anything away from it. Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. Listen carefully. If anyone adds to these things, what things? This book. What book? Hang on. God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, what book? Of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life from the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. That's pretty serious. Don't you think that's serious? Pretty serious. You better not add to this book. You better not take a book out of this book. 66 books. Isn't it interesting that that warning came in the book of Revelation, chapter 22? When he says, don't add to this book, people will say on your doorstep, well, he meant the book of Revelation. Well, so what? What if he said at the end in chapter 22, don't add to this chapter? What if he would have said in Revelation 22 at the last verse, don't add to this verse? What if he would have said, don't add in Revelation chapter 22 at the last verse, at the last word, amen, even so I come quickly, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus, amen. Don't add to the amen. Why? Because the plagues of this book will land on your head. You think that's pretty serious? I'm curious. What do you think? What do you think was the last book of the Bible written? Anybody have a clue? It was in the mid to late 90s. It's called the book of Revelation. It doesn't matter if you add to this book, the Book of Mormon, or any other book, you're in deep trouble. This is the full revelation of God. He spoke it through Jesus Christ, His Son. He's not going to say any more new revelation. What He will say by the power of the Spirit and the presence of the Spirit is what's already in this book. God will speak when He speaks to you what's in this book. Gee, I wonder if the Lord is in this. Let's go to Him in prayer. And God speaks a verse to your heart. That's God speaking. And you take it and you hang on to it. But if it's something new, somebody comes in this church. I told you before, we had a woman come in here. She said, I got a message from God. And I lied to her, right, straight there in front of all of you guys. I said, I can't hear you. The band started playing. I said, I can't hear you. She goes, I got a message for this church. I said, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. And out we walked until I got in the parking lot. I said, now I can hear you. And she says, I got a message. I said, you ain't got no message for this place. I'm God's prophet. I said, I'm God's pastor. I said, I'm God's pastor. You're God's prophet? Tell me what it is. We'll be fine. If I'm God's pastor and you're God's prophet, we ought to be in full agreement, don't you think? Yes. Then tell me what it is. I can't. It's for somebody in there. No, you're not going in there. So we got a little... You know, it's going back and forth. And I said, lady, you're not going in there. We'll have you arrested. Before you ever get arrested, you get in a headlock. You're not going in there. Jack, how can you, what if it was a prophet of God? Well, the four-letter words that came out after that moment disproved any message that she might have had, except she could tell this church where to go. No, you don't add to the book. And this, by the way, is the last book written to man, Book of Revelation, which is the last book of the 66. But it says Jesus Himself, the chief cornerstone. Quickly turn, if you would, to Psalm 118. This is really neat stuff, and then we'll be done in about a half an hour. Just kidding. Psalm 118, beginning at Psalm 113. This is really neat. At Passover time, the Jews in the temple who were in the choir, they would begin singing in Psalm 113, and they would sing all the way to Psalm 118 once a year during the Passover. But look with me specifically, Psalm 118, beginning at verse 22. Psalm 118, 22. The stone... Now remember, they're singing this out loud. In fact, at the time of Jesus' trial, get a load of this. Josephus tells us 256,000 lambs had been slaughtered for Passover. One lamb per 10 people. There were 2.5 million people celebrating Passover in Jerusalem. And while they're slitting the throats of the lambs for the family, the choir in mass was singing. They were singing Psalm 113 all the way through to Psalm 118. And while they're singing, can you imagine this? Jesus has been rejected. They sing this. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day, underline it, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Verse 25, save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. This is very amazing. You know, we'll get up in the morning. I don't know if you do that. I don't do this, but, you know, the song comes to mind. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice. You know, a little song, little kids singing. And be glad in it, and be glad in it. And even Bob Schuller will say this on his Sunday morning program. He'll say, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. And you know, that's a nice thing to say. It's a great verse. But do you know what this verse means? Seriously, if we're going to be theologically accurate, this is what the verse means. This is the day that the Lord has made. Guess what? It's the day that the Lamb pays the debt for the sins of the people. This is the day that the Lord's made. The lambs are being killed. Let's rejoice and be glad because our sins are forgiven. John says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. The Jew does not yet understand this, that let us rejoice and be glad in it. It will be a revelation for them yet futuristic for them. They will realize, as the book of Zechariah says, that they have pierced the hands and the feet of the Son of God, that they crucified the Lord of glory. This is the day that the Lord has made and we will rejoice. It's a very holy and solemn proclamation. It's not tomorrow morning when the sun comes up, though the Lord has made that day. It's a specific reference to the sacrifice of the who? Chief cornerstone. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And the story goes that when they were building Solomon's temple, the temple Jesus stood at 1,000 years earlier, a command was given to place the cornerstone, and it had been delivered months earlier, and somebody had taken it and rejected it and pushed it over the cliff. And somebody said, where's it at? I delivered it. I looked in the charts. I got my clipboard out here. We delivered it 4 months ago. This is true. And they had to get that thing brought back up. They rejected the chief cornerstone for the building of the temple. God knew that was going to happen, and thousands of years in advance pens it through the psalmist. But the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, had been rejected. Isaiah 28:16 says, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion, Jerusalem, a stone for a foundation, a tried, that's a tested stone, a precious cornerstone. Remember, vertical and horizontally, the standard? A sure foundation, whoever believes will not act hastily or foolishly. Matthew 21:42. Jesus said to them, to the Pharisees, have you never read the Scriptures? Talking about the Old Testament. He says, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Imagine Jesus quoting to you the Bible. I mean, that just kind of gives me goosebumps. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to another nation bearing fruits of it. And whoever falls, watch him, this is what he would have done. Whoever falls on this stone will be broken. Points to himself. He didn't point to a stone. But whoever this stone falls upon, it will ground him to powder. Get it? Catch it. Jesus Christ is saying, I'm the one. You better fall on me. You'll be broken. That's good. Your pride, your arrogance, your selfishness, your righteousness of your own. Jesus says, you fall on me and you'll be broken, and that's good, and you'll have life. But oh, if you reject and refuse the chief cornerstone, and this cornerstone someday will fall on you and it will ground you to powder. Wow, that's serious stuff. Finally, this concerning the cornerstone. Peter said this in Acts 4:10. In Acts 4:10, he says, let it be known to you all. He's from Dallas, Fort Worth area. and to all people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders. He's really subtle about this. Which has become the chief cornerstone. Listen, what's the big deal? Verse 12, the next verse. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus, the righteous cornerstone. Isn't that awesome? It's tremendous. Verse 21. In whom the whole building, that's all of us, the structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. Real quickly, we'll be done here. Verse 21. The whole building being joined together. This is the picture. Jesus is the cornerstone. The message of the apostles is the foundation. We stand on the foundation independently as individual believers, but linked as a family, arm in arm. And what happens is every time somebody gets saved, the Lord puts somebody in the ranks. And it's being built up. What is the church? Now hang on to your seats. There is no universal church in the world, per se. That's why God promotes local bodies of believers. The church at Ephesus, church at Thyatira, church at Laodicea, church at Philadelphia, church at Chino Hills. Independent local churches. God has established that. Why? Because there's coming a time when He will assemble the Jewish believers who have come to faith in Christ during the church age, now part of the bride of Christ, and all of us Gentiles into the bride of Christ. And once in heaven, we will be the church, universal. You got that? It's very important because you know what? A lot of churches don't teach this. You've heard of the brotherhood of man, the fatherhood of God, and all we're all one, and everybody just makes some big religious thing out of everything, and it'd be cool. It's not what the Bible teaches. It's amazing. We are all believers in Jesus Christ, but we dwell in individual bodies, local churches. God is in the local church. He's very, very serious about it. But listen to this. He's talking about unity in this great construction. The whole building, joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. And here's a beautiful thought, and we'll be done. When he says the whole body here brought together, the whole building, he's saying, as a contractor would say, these trucks pull up. What do you got here? I got some rocks. Where are the rocks from? From Russia. Put them right over here. What do you have? I've got some beams. Well, where are the beams from? England. Bring them over here. Got some windows to deliver. Well, where are the windows from? America. Put them right over here. Believers coming from all over the globe to one location to build the household of God. And each of us as believers have certain functions in the body. You may be a window, you may be a stone, but here's the point. We come together on the cornerstone, on the foundation, into a holy temple of God. And here's the part that just absolutely is awesome. When he says holy temple, are you ready for this? The word is the same word used in your New Testament for the Holy of Holies. God left the Holy of Holies between the cherubim and the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. He left that location to move inside every true believer's heart. That's why the gospel of Christ is lunacy to a Jew. Why would God move outside of the temple and into a human heart? Because the power of the blood of Christ is so great to cleanse you and I from sin every moment along the way that God the Holy Spirit can live inside you. That's how powerful the blood of Christ is, and that's how saved and holy you are. That God Himself can dwell inside you, and you now are the temple of the living God. That's why you can turn on CNN and praise God there's no temple in Jerusalem. There's a temple at your address where you live, in your chest. It is absolutely beyond imagination what we have in us. I'm sorry. I was going to yell amen just a second ago. I think this is awesome. Incredible. In whom also you're being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. God is into buildings, human buildings. Where he says in Revelation 21:3, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is now among men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. The message of the apostles is our foundation that we stand on. And Jesus shines his message through us as a holy habitation. Wow. I want to get saved again. Where can you get such a deal? I'm thinking if God would have done this whole thing, you know, it's by faith. It's not by feeling. We believe that God lives in us because His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. But it's not a feeling. Some people are looking for feelings. But thank God it's by faith. Because do you realize if this truth was revealed to us by feelings? Can you imagine? God moving in. He used to dwell between the cherubim. Angels in His presence cover their faces and they're like, man, He's so awesome. They cover their bodies. They flap with the two remaining wings as fast as they can in His presence because they're sheltering their face and body from Him because He's so awesome. He lives in unapproachable light. Not even angels can get near Him. They got to cover their face. And God says, oh, you know what? I'm going to move inside these people. I'm going to live inside them. Do you realize if it was by feeling that we knew this? Do you know what would happen? Lord, I ask You to come into my life and to save me from my sins. Jesus, fill me now with who You are. We're asking the Creator of the universes to move on inside. Incredible.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from the last few verses of Ephesians 2. It's a presentation called One Family Under God. Join us again on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio as we continue through this New Testament letter. Now, the very last book of Scripture, Revelation, is quite obviously an unusual book. It is largely prophetic, symbolic, and so forth, but toward its beginning, we find dictated letters to actual first century churches located in what is now modern-day Turkey. Well, there's much to be gained by these letters, which is precisely why Pastor Jack did a CD series, Letters to the Seven Churches. In fact, its subtitle is what truly reveals the value of this series. What kind of church are you? Now, we'll be happy to send you Pastor Jack's CD series, Letters to the Seven Churches. What kind of church are you? For your tax-deductible contribution to the ongoing work of Real Radio, of any amount, visit us at realradioactive.org. In fact, there you can learn more about this 7-CD set. realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And remember, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, You shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.